Joining us now in the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. Bobby, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. Can we start? I'm going to start out with a question, not specific to anything, but we were just having the discussion about NBA ownership and general managers and things like that. And as a guy who has the experience that you have, what percentage of basketball fans out there do you think they could go in and do a good job as an NBA executive? Because I think the number's very high.
Probably higher than coaching, I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny. And I'm sure it would probably make my friends in the front offices upset. The head coach, we always see kind of in and out as far as the firing process, the rotating door. But who at the end of the day holds the front office accountable? I mean, it's like if we hold the front office accountable like we hold the coaches accountable, I mean, we'd have a high turnover in general manager or front offices. And usually it's the owner who holds them accountable. And most of the time, the owner has another business, and the NBA team is probably not their priority. I mean, if you're looking at Chicago with Jerry Reinsdorf, either having the White Sox, I mean, that's probably his priority, and his son is in charge of the Bulls here. So,
yep. That's
no,
right.
You're right. I mean, you look at all the. I mean, how many coaches have gotten fired in the last 5 or 6 years compared to how many GMs have gotten fired?
And, yeah.
I saw it in New Jersey. I mean, we recycled head coaches here and there, and in the front office, rarely went unchanged.
Bobby, let me ask you this, because last week in a column I wrote, I wrote that it's about time for Adam Silver to open the hood and check out what's going on in Phoenix. An intervention, if you will. What do you think about the level of what's going down in Phoenix? Not just that, just how long things have been wrong.
Oh, I mean, I hear you. I mean, and now I think things make a little bit worse is that the team that you were, I guess, compared to, Sacramento, is ahead of you. I mean, did we ever think that you could say that Sacramento was ahead of you in the rebuild? And they are. I mean, realistically, where Sacramento has with their, I mean, they've got a backcourt of the future, and besides, with Devin there, Phoenix is still looking for that point guard. So yeah, I mean, I think it's all about having a plan and sticking to it, and if you're willing to go through some pain for 4 or 5 years. That can turn out to be success for the long haul, then you do it. But yeah, I mean, I think, and I've written about it before. What's happened with the head coaches there has really set the organization back. I think Darrell Watson hiring set the organization back a couple of years here. So yeah, I mean, in the big picture here, Phoenix should not be 4-24 or whatever their record is. And to be down, 25-3 to start games here when, you've gone through years of building through the lottery, and you've missed out on so many players.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. You mentioned the point guard spot. Obviously, the Suns do not have that right now. Once upon a time, the Suns were the home for point guards. They'd have 3 or 4 every single year, seemingly, and now they don't really have a viable candidate. With December 15 rolling around this weekend, realistically, who are some of the candidates that maybe the Suns could nab to take over this offense for the rest of the season?
Well, the hard part's going to be is that we're in a period now where there's going to be so many free agents this year. So the guys out there that potentially could be available, maybe the Spencer Dinwiddies of the world, I doubt Terry Rozier will be available just based on that team is going to try to win it all this year, and they'll figure out really what happens with Rozier in the off season. But yeah, guys like Dinwiddie, if you go out and give Brooklyn a solid offer, he certainly is available. But then you got to pay him in the off season, so that's kind of where you're a little bit hesitant. Not a great draft with point guards here, so it is not a good spot to be in looking for a point guard right now. John Wall's available, but do you want to go out and owe him 4 years, $170 million? That's your big free agent. And the guy who's got, bone spurs right now, Reggie Jackson is available for Detroit. And, that would basically, tie up, most of your cap space for this upcoming summer. I mean, those are those are the type of guys that you know that teams are looking to move that are available. And if I'm Phoenix, they're not real appealing to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. All right, is Luka Doncic making every NBA executive look stupid outside of Dallas? And if so, why was there such a debate when one kid had such a body of work against grown men like he did?
I think a lot of it had to be we get caught up in the hype of the NCAA and seeing these kids on ESPN or Fox or we got caught up in the Trae Young hype last year, and I think Trae Young will be a good solid pro. I don't think he'll be where Luke is right now. Regarding DeAndre in Phoenix, I had DeAndre 1 and Luka 2, so I'm not going to kind of play Monday morning quarterback right now. But I think a lot of it just a lot of people never saw Luka Doncic over in Spain. You know, we heard about him. Games are not on TV over here until we got and kind of get to see him in our own eyes. And I've said all along that league that he's played in, it's the same league that Porzingis played in, 4 or 5 years ago, is as good as any league that we'll see, from a college comparison. So, yeah, I mean, he certainly made, the good thing for some of these general managers is that he didn't get picked at 10 or 11. he did get picked in the top five. So, it's only really, if we're going to second guess, I guess it would be, some of those teams, like Atlanta who traded for, flip-flop those picks there.
Bobby Marks, ESPN, NBA Front Office Insider, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. December 15th, we've had that date circled on the calendar now for a while concerning Trevor Ariza. That's the first day he can be traded because he signed a contract over the summer. What are you hearing? We've heard reports of maybe 8 or 9 teams, the Lakers hot and heavy, about Trevor Ariza. What's the latest you're hearing on any market for him, Bobby?
Well, I don't want to pour cold water, not on Ariza, but on December 15th. And I know it is kind of the unofficial date, but, I mean, we haven't had a trade since 2010 on December 15th. So it is, the restrictions are lifted on free agents, but teams are a little bit in a holding pattern. But, yeah, I mean, Ariza, an expiring contract, I think a lot of teams would like to see him go into the buyout market. I think that will not happen like what we saw with Tyson Chandler. I think it's just a matter of what James Jones wants to get out of it. I think it's hard. It's going to be hard for him to go out and get a playmaking guard that has some years left on his contract. I don't think I'd want anything to do with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope just because you're going to probably have to go through the buyout process with his agent, Rich Paul. So what does that do for you here? So I think you got to sit back a little bit and let the standings kind of shake out and see if teams get desperate when we get into, into late January, early February, because we're still almost 2 months away. So I would be stunned if Ariza is moved, this weekend when restrictions are lifted. I think you're in a little bit of a holding pattern. I think probably the likely name that gets moved is Carmelo Anthony. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that Houston's been working on a deal to try to get rid of his money and put some cash in there. But I think if you're the Suns front office, is that you just kind of sit tight right now. A team that, as I said, when we're going through the Jimmy Butler situation, is that there'll be a team like possibly maybe Houston that's going to be a game out of the playoffs in late January, or maybe even Dallas, one of those teams that are willing to give you a little bit more than, in 2 months from now than they are right now.
All right, let me ask this, Bobby, because James Jones, one of the moves that he's getting ripped for was for just waving, cutting Tyson Chandler, gifting him to the Lakers when he had an expiring contract that, ostensibly carries value in the NBA. That in mind, do you think James Jones's relationship with LeBron James, which they're very tight accordingly, is going to pay off for him in the long run?
Well, that's why I'm kind of, before I, critique the, James Jones and the Chandler move, the how it works is that it's such a business on relationships, either front offices, GMs, and agents. Hopefully Jeff Schwartz, Tyson Chandler's agent, returns the favor down the road. I mean, that's usually how it works here, where I will do you a favor, I will let you out of your contract, we'll shave $2 million, you can go to the Lakers here, but, come to draft, come to free agency, that favor is returned. So, we'll see if that's the case here. But I don't see a case where he's going to gift Trevor Ariza to Lakers and basically get nothing back in return, just based on where the value is. And I think you guys have mentioned it. They got 9 or 10 calls the other day. Based on Ariza, and he is probably the most appealing player out there because he's on an expiring, and you know the value of wing defenders.
Bobby, thanks so much for the time and the insight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. That's CoulterTempe.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com.